The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond. Nobody else, that's it. Just me and Colin. Colin, how you doing?
I'm all right, how are you?
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 253. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside he only does everything, Colin Moriarty. Huge effing show today. So huge, in fact, Clements and Goldfarb exploded and no longer live in this world. Good. Sad state of affairs. Yeah, I know. Clement's actually doing a GameSpot podcast right now, guest starring over there to say hey and extend goodwill. He could not tell me what show he was going to do, though, so I can't repay the favor and tell them which one. So whatever GameSpot podcast Clements pops up on, look on that. Follow him on Twitter, at Plum Cider. He'll tell you all about it. Goldfarb doing something dumb. I don't even remember what he was doing. He was doing something?
I don't know.
He's going to join us later. Colin, Gamescom is happening right now over there in that Cologne, Germany. Mm-hmm. Das Colin.
Cologne.
And PlayStation had a little bit of a press conference today, and they had a little bit of huge announcements.
Yeah, they had a lot of big announcements.
So we're going to run the show a bit differently. It's one of our biggest shows, and I think we only have the hour to get it all in, and we're already into the hour. And I have a phone call to do. I think somebody else is in here afterwards. So we're just going to get into the Roper Report as it is. Just let it go.
Okay.
With what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. It's so pitiful that it's only just you and I.
Yep.
But whatever. What do you got for me, Colin?
Let's see. I'm scrolling. I didn't write anything down.
No big deal.
So we can confirm that Sackboy, Ratchet, Spike, and Dante are all in PlayStation All-Stars. They revealed that today.
Now, not only did they reveal it today, you had a huge exclusive go up on IGN.com where everybody should go and read and watch all the videos.
Yeah, I went to Superbot last week and played the game and saw the game extensively with Seth Killian and Omar Kendall and all these guys. Can't tell you everything I saw or near everything I saw, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
But I can tell you more about all these four characters as well as the Alden's Tower infamous stage. We have exclusive footage of all four characters and the exclusive on Alden's Tower itself, so you can go to IGN and look at all of those.
Who's your favorite character?
Out of those four?
Yeah.
I like Spike the best.
Really?
Yeah.
From the Ape Escape.
Ape Escape, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the most interesting character out of the four. Sackboy is probably the most dynamic and difficult to use character.
Yeah.
I think Dante's pretty straightforward. He's a combo-based character. And Ratchet is almost like Radic, in that he uses a lot of guns and tech.
Yeah, Omar was talking about in the impressions video you put up how, you know, Ratchet... Or was it Sackboy that's actually... who's the one he was saying is the most distance fighter? I guess he was saying that was Ratchet.
No, I think Sackboy is the one that wants to stay out of the way the most.
Okay, yeah, because he's using all his pop-up and pop-it menus. They're popping up pop-it menu to get out there. He's using the Kickinator. He's using this fan. I don't remember the fan of the game, but I'm happy that...
It's there somewhere, probably.
Apparently.
Maybe not. I don't know.
No. Maybe they're just making it all up as they go.
We can also confirm that, last week the game was delayed, or actually I guess it was earlier this week, the game was delayed. It comes out November 20th in North America and 21st in Europe, and 22nd in Australia, I believe. So the game has a month delay. But the good news is that PlayStation 3 version of All-Stars, if you buy that, you get the Vita version for free.
Right, yeah. It's this new thing, Cross-Buy, they called it. It's also coming with Sly and Ratchet. Full Frontal Assault, Ratchet and Clank, Full Frontal Assault is coming to Vita now, they announced.
Yeah, that's
this will be the same thing where you buy it on the Blu-ray, you get the free, we're assuming, voucher code for Vita?
Yeah, I don't know. Excuse me.
Yeah. You like that idea, though? You happy with that? You always come on here and talk about the Venn diagrams.
Yeah, I mean, I still think there's like way too much crossover. But with that said, I mean, that kind of crossover doesn't hurt if you just get the game for free. Yeah. And I still think All-Stars is a PS3 game natively, so.
Sure.
I don't know how interesting.
Is this like this is exciting because it's the first step, right? We talked about this with like MLB The Show that they should have had a pack and they should have figured this out. It's nice to see them finally doing it.
Yeah, I think hopefully it segues to something like The Show. The Show already sells exceptionally well anyway, so I can only imagine how many units they would sell.
Now here's the thing.
Yeah.
You want to sell some Vitas. Mm. You want to be brilliant. Now this does not cross play at all, but it could be a cross buy. They should package it with Black Ops 2. If I'm a Call of Duty fan, I buy Black Ops 2 on PS3 and I get Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified on Vita for free.
Then you buy a Vita.
Exactly. It's a reason for me to go out and buy it.
That's interesting. That's a good point. Maybe they'll do that. We'll get to more on Call of Duty Black
Will
Ops
we?
Declassified shortly. What a Big Planet developer, Media Molecule, revealed their new game today. It's called Tearaway, and it is a PlayStation Vita exclusive.
Mm.
Looks interesting.
It looks interesting, but you and I were talking about this on the GameScoop video that'll be up here on IGN. You weren't blown away.
No, not really. I mean, I think the game... The game's pretty. I think it looks, you know, it's 3D in a 2D world, I guess is what you would say, right? You control it in 3D, but it looks 2D. It's like made of 2D.
It's similar to Little Big Planet, where like it looked like, you know, Sackboy's running along basically left to right or whatever in a traditional Little Big Planet level. But you can jump back and forth. Things are 3D. Yada, yada.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, Media Molecule was like very specific that they didn't want to do Little Big Planet anymore. That's why... Tarzan or what is Tarzan or whatever the hell they
yeah it's them and then it's like a gajillion other people on that
on the Vita version. So it just doesn't seem that like aesthetically and even in terms of quirky gameplay and stuff, it doesn't really seem like a leap too far for Media Molecule.
You wanted like a first person shooter?
I don't know, something just totally different. It's you know, we haven't played the game. I'm sure the game's gonna be great. I mean, it's a Media Molecule game, I don't know what I expected. They made it seem like they just wanted to do something else, and this seems like a half a step basically towards doing something else, not like a full step.
Yeah.
But it's cool that they're working on Vita. I mean, other than, you know, Naughty Dog and Sucker Punch, Media Molecule is probably their most prolific developer. So the fact that they're putting something on Vita is a pretty big deal, I think. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's nice to see, like we're talking about, you see these Sony studios that are so tried and true, so trusted. To take a big name, or they are a big name on their own, to go do something on the Vita.
Yeah.
Hopefully Sucker Punch.
It's exciting. You already said Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault, known as Q-Force. In Europe, will be also coming to Vita, so that's cool.
You find it weird that they change names like that based on Europe or America? Is Full Frontal not an interesting... Is that not a phrase over there?
There might be a trademark
thing
in there. That's you know, Dragon Warrior was Dragon Warrior in the United States and Dragon Quest in Japan until that trademark expired, and then... It became Dragon Quest.
And it all exploded.
With 8, I believe.
My God, ladies and gentlemen. Garfeth himself. Andrew Goldfarb.
Welcome.
Which microphone is he going to take? Take 3. 3 is the better one. Okay. And I'm turning it on now. We should be able to hear you when you start talking.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hello.
So far, we've covered cross-buy. Your thoughts?
I think it's great. I think it's exactly what they needed.
Yeah?
And what I needed.
Yeah. Double plats all around.
No, I think it's smart. I think... that was kind of one of my concerns was like, I want to play, like you were always saying, I want to play, you know, PlayStation All-Stars on the go and level up characters or whatever. And then when I'm at home, maybe play online, have like a more extended experience.
Sure.
And I didn't want to have to spend $100 to buy 2 versions of it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think this is a smart way to get people to, I mean, the one downside to it though, I guess, is that like, what does that mean for Vita software sales? You know, like, I mean, some of the biggest games coming to Vita are also coming to PS3. So it's like now are less people going to buy Vitas to play those games? I don't know.
Well, no, I think it would just look like the attach rate and all that stuff would look worse.
Yes.
But I think this will encourage people to buy Vitas. Because I pitched this to Colin. We haven't talked about Black Ops Declassified 2, but I was saying that they should package with Black Ops 2. You should buy Black Ops 2 on PS3 and you open up and there's a voucher for Declassified.
That would be so smart.
Because then it would be like, yeah, I'm a Call of Duty head. I'll go buy this anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially because there's a bundle available and stuff. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't help you at that point.
Well, it does if you're a Call of Duty head and want the
well, not
special.
Not if it comes in Black Ops 2. Hey, look, I got a voucher code for a game
I'm just saying if you want the little system with the Call of Duty logo on the back. Or
A special a rear touchpad for Black Ops 2 Declassified.
Exactly.
Version of Vita.
Colin, you look really good today.
Thank you. let's see. Call of Duty Vita, Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified. It's going to have a bundle. We learned that. I don't know.
Bridges the story between
single player missions are going to bridge Black Ops to Black Ops 2, 4-on-4 Wi-Fi multiplayer, including team deathmatch and kill confirmed, where you kill somebody, you have to go pick up their dog tags, and then I'm sure a slew of other things built from the ground up. They kept saying built from the ground up maps, developed by
Nihilistic Software.
Ooh,
yes.
No, you don't mean that.
Just kidding.
Of course, they're the people who did Resistance Burning Skies.
Yeah, and PlayStation Move Heroes. So these, you know. Like we said on GameScoop, nice dudes, we know them. They work hard, obviously, but they don't have a really a quality game to their name. And it's a confusing thing to have Sony and Activision just give this game to a studio that is unproven. You would think you would want like a top tier, probably internal Activision studio. That's why it was fun when people were like, maybe Neversoft's developing the game, because you know that would have made a little more sense. Even though Neversoft doesn't have shooter experience, they make good games.
Yeah, or even like Sledgehammer or some of these people who have worked in an assist capacity on the bigger Call of Duty games. It's kind of surprising because obviously Treyarch and Infinity Ward are the lead developers on their respective titles, but. Like there are like something like 8 different studios that actually like contribute to those games happening. Raven, as you know, obviously is one of them.
It's weird, so, even taking
it would have
been
away a 10 if Raven fucking developed it.
Even taking away that we were disappointed in Resistance Burning Skies, that you would have the same developer do your first two first person shooters. That's what's weird to me.
And see, this is what excites me about Killzone Vita, is that that game has been in development for quite a while. Whereas it seems
really
like with Resistance, I don't know how big the team at Nihilistic is, but with Resistance coming out this year and now Call of Duty coming out this year, you have to assume that both of those games suffered as part of that development cycle.
Right, yeah.
Whereas Killzone has been built from the ground up. It's been in development for like at least a year, probably more than that. And like that bodes well for what that game could be. That maybe that will finally be the definitive dual stick portable first person shooter.
Yeah.
I think Killzone's been in development for much longer than a year.
Yeah. I'm just saying it was announced when NGP was announced, which was early 2011.
Yeah,
right?
And we saw screenshots of it.
So I guess that means it's like at least a year and a half, 2 years. Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, probably be 2.5 years by the time the game comes out. We don't have a date on that. We do know that Call of Duty will come out in November.
Yeah.
I'll still play it. It'll probably still be fun. See, the problem with...
Well, I'm excited. I hope it's another easy platinum.
Yeah, yes. I hope they learn a thing or two about how to do trophies.
No, they did it just right.
But, the problem with Resistance was not the way the game played. It was that it wasn't a good Resistance game. So, with that said, I mean, our expectations in terms of presentation is clearly lower with Call of Duty than it is with Resistance, I think.
And, I mean, one thing that's better, Resistance, it's funny because they tried to cram in this story stuff that hurt the game. Like, if that had just been like a Unit 13 style game with 6 missions just called Mission 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that had been totally standalone and each one you unlock a new weapon, I feel like it actually would have been better than trying to do like this terrible, corny story that just never quite came together.
Yeah, it was strange. It was a strange game.
Also, can I close these blinds? It's kind of freaking me out.
See, I open them because it's always... I don't understand why we close them.
Because we can do sex stuff in here.
No, it's we close them and you walk up, you can't tell if somebody's in the room.
All right, no, keep them open.
I mean, is it distracting you?
No, not well. A little.
I mean, now you've derailed the podcast.
Well, I'm sorry.
I don't care. It's a conversational podcast.
Just like this guy who wrote in about the blind.
Yeah, I don't have any. I tweeted if we do get through all the news stories, so we'll get some Gamescom tweets here.
Ooh. So speaking of Killzone, the game on Vita is called Killzone Mercenary. It is Guerrilla Games is developing it, themselves. That's cool. That's exciting.
So if I can interject for a second, do we know anything about Cambridge was announced as doing it prior to this, right?
Yeah, they probably still are. I mean, Cambridge has no cachet, though, so they probably just put Gorilla's name on it. I mean, I think Cambridge has essentially been sucked in by Gorilla, but I could be wrong.
Sucked in.
Because it definitely does have the Gorilla logo at the beginning.
Yeah, it's all over the trailer if you watch it. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I don't know why they kept doing that.
They love Gorillas.
Drive it home.
Gorillas in the mist.
Let's see. PlayStation Plus refresh has been announced. So... I'll just read the story straight from Greg. At its Gamescom press conference, Sony detailed what new bonuses gamers can expect from PlayStation Plus. Blah, blah, blah. First off, Red Dead Redemption will be September's free game of the month, at least in Europe.
Yeah, in Europe. They have not confirmed that for the United States.
Secondly, worldwide users will now have 1 gigabyte of cloud storage space compared to the 150 megabytes they have
now.
That's
nice.
Thirdly, PlayStation Plus will soon be coming to the PlayStation Vita, which is the most exciting news of all. If you're in Europe, you can nab PlayStation Plus for a 25% discount in September. We don't know about the North American compatibility with that yet. Yep. I'm sure it's coming. I see a story about Wonderbook here. We are not going to read it. On to the next... By the way,
I can't believe they did it again.
I know. It was almost like it was almost a joke.
But this time they did it right, didn't they? I was writing during it, but I heard it was just a trailer, right? There wasn't like a
whole... But they kept going. That was 15 minutes.
It was three. Yeah, it was three.
Well, then they talked
trailers.
About the Dill Pickle game, where you're the private eye pickle.
You're Humpty Dumpty. Together Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah, you're a caterpillar.
I wrote that dumb story, Millipede. So I'll talk about it. So just really quick. They showed off a little bit more Book of Spells, which is the J.K. Rowling game, and that is why that was at this conference.
J.K.
Yeah,
JK.
If you think Harry Potter is big here, it is so big in Europe. And so, like, I think that's why they're doing it at a European-based press conference. So they showed off Book of Spells. They showed off BBC Walking with Dinosaurs. They said there are partnerships with Disney. And then they're doing that Humpty Dumpty game. Watching it this time, I still am bored to tears and have no interest in it. But I can see it if they market it right, doing really well with kids, especially in Europe.
Sure.
So, I mean, I don't blame them for focusing on it. I just think it was crazy to do all of these long, drawn-out trailers. Because he was like, we've already announced some exciting new IPs today, and I have some great news to share with you. And then the Wonderbook logo came up, and I was like, oh, no. And then they were on it for so long. I just can't believe they made the same mistake again.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, I'm dubious of Wonderbook. Not because we don't, you know, it's not for us. You know, I'm sure it's going to be good quality and stuff like that. The reason they're spending so much time with it is because there's clearly a huge internal investment in this product.
Yeah.
But... and I don't even mean money as much as I mean resources. And
well, yeah, it's,
and
like it's saying, move
for cachet. Like they got slammed because of what they did at E3. So it takes a lot of balls for them to do it again at Gamescom. And they knew they had to do it because of this investment and to get it out there. But I am not sold on the fact that someone is going to buy, that doesn't have a PS3, mm-hmm. is going to buy a $250 PlayStation 3.
Mommy, I want the new Harry Potter.
Yeah, move, and then the game. This is like a $350 investment, unless PS3 just at precipitously least. Falls in price. You know, yeah. So I just don't, unless you own a PS3 and you own a move, who the hell is going to buy this for their kids? I just, you know, when you just go buy them an action figure or some shit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
Or a book. Just buy them, yeah, just Harry
Potter, buy them a book, or give them your iPad that you probably already have and let them, you know, play with a book on there. I don't know. Yeah. It's they really want that casual market, but I always agreed with you what you said about, you said a million times about Sony and, you know, GDC with PlayStation Move. They should just be going in the other direction.
Yep,
and I think that would save them money internally and build them a lot of credit and credit, you know, credibility with the hardcore gamer.
There's some exec up there who thinks that they can do it still. And this is, I mean, make no mistake, this is what they're internally probably considering what could be the second coming of PlayStation Move. We have all these PlayStation Move wands and nobody fucking wants them for games. But if we go the complete other direction and make this Harry Potter wand book and this, that, and the other, there isn't, you know, we're calling it Wonder Book and not even mentioning PlayStation Move, but you need to move those PlayStation Move units to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I mean, they are, of all things, partnering with J.K. Rowling and the Harry Potter brand
smart.
Is very smart.
Yeah.
If anything would make it work, it's that. But I agree. It is, like, especially late in a console cycle, it's like, oh, hey, you just bought this PS3 with Move and Wonder Book. Now we released a new system called the PlayStation 4 a year and a half later.
Yeah.
And now buy
it comes
too.
With the PlayStation Move.
Yeah, oh, God.
This might all have to do, Wonder Book, I mean, you assume PS3's price is going to drop when they announce this rumored new PlayStation that clearly exists. No, PS3, the new PS3 model that clearly exists.
PS3.
So maybe it makes it more affordable. Whatever. I will say that it's not as embarrassing this time with Wonderbook, specifically because they had a J.K. Rowling message at E3 that a dude had to read. She couldn't even fucking record a video, so at least they just ignored that completely.
Well, yeah. And also this time is somehow didn't totally derail it. You know, like the momentum kept going after that because they had the Studio Japan games and because they had Until Dawn and all that cool stuff they showed. Like the problem at E3 was that you had all this cool stuff, then like 40 minutes of Wonder Book, and then you had The Last of Us, which was
God
great,
of War 2.
But it was just very sudden after that. You know, like it was like they never quite got like that upswing.
They
back.
Never amped back up. Yeah. This was a good. They
it
amped
was
well
positioned
here.
Better. Yeah. Exactly.
They amped well with all the downloadable games. Yeah. Or not downloadable necessarily. You know what I mean?
They amped up.
Amped up.
I'm amped.
You look amped.
So
speaking
amped.
Of Until Dawn. Until Dawn was revealed today. It's under development at Supermassive Games, which is a second party Sony studio in Europe. And they.
For kids at home, second party.
I'm sorry?
For kids at home, second party.
A second party studio is an independent studio that basically is funded by Sony. So they're not owned by Sony. Insomniac was technically a second party for a long time. There's a lot of, you know, Ready Till Dawn, right? That was the guys that did.
Yeah, God of War.
The God of War games. That's a second party studio. Sanzaru and.
Unfinished Swan People?
Yes.
Because they have the contract.
Giant
for three
Sparrow.
Games.
Yeah, that's there. So second party is basically just an exclusive developer that isn't owned by Sony.
There you go, kids.
The more you know.
So Supermassive Games is working on it. Supermassive did like Tumble and Start the Party, and just, but they know how to use PlayStation Move. See, Nick's actually ran over to me today, our database manager, who knows just about as much about PlayStation as we do, if not more. He just like knows PlayStation.
He's
really
the old
well.
School PlayStation.
Yeah, and he's like, this is a game you should be excited about. These guys know how to use Move, you know. So I was like, yeah, that's true. I think the game looks really cool. The game's been rumored to have been in development for a long time. And by the way, I just want to say, because we got an email, a very curt and rude email last week about how...
No.
About,
what, a listener?
Yeah, about how talking about Until Dawn and Rain were not news.
Oh, right.
And then we got another email this week. I don't know if it's from the same person or another person saying that when we do Podcast Beyond 300 Live, that he will come here and buy me a pizza if these games are actually announced this year. Well, who the fuck won that bet? in about 2 seconds. Colin knows what he's doing, Greg.
You know what? There's a lot of stuff Colin doesn't know what he's doing. When it's talking about PlayStation, Colin knows what he's doing.
When it comes to midnight openings and movies, he has no idea.
Yeah.
You want advice on PlayStation? The proper use of mayonnaise? You talk to Colin.
Yeah. I'll cook you a good over easy egg too.
Speaking of
mayonnaise,
speaking of mayonnaise, yeah. Hellman's wrote in. Speaking of readers, there's been a dude. Man, I have none of this information in front of me. I suck.
Don't worry. There's a
Podcast Beyond mod available in Mod Nation Racers, and I'm forgetting all the details on that.
Thank you for that story.
Pretty sure if you search for Beyond, you will be able to find
it. You should probably just search for Greg Miller and get my IGN cart and the Greg Miller mod.
I'm going to tweet out the information about this mod later.
What does it look like? Why is it the Podcast Beyond mod?
He's been messaging me on PSN repeatedly to mention it on Beyond. He tweeted at both of us a couple times. I think it's while you were away. And
gotcha.
So, yeah, I'll get the information. It'll either be in the article for this podcast or on Twitter.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. Continue.
Just Until Dawn, by the way, PlayStation Move... It's a flashlight game, basically. It looks really cool.
It does.
It's like a horror movie, kind of.
See, my thing is, I tweeted about it looking cool, too, and I dialed it back. I said it looks neat or something like that. Because the more I looked at the trailer, I wasn't super happy with the animations, necessarily,
or
whatever.
The game's probably old.
I know. But the idea of it sounds really cool. Like, it's a horror movie. Like, you're setting, you know, you're at this cabin in the woods. You're going to have sex with this girl in a bikini.
Yeah.
There's some drinking, I think, going on. Like, they're going, like, the full, like, here, you're immersed in this horror movie. Go have fun.
Yeah, I think it's neat. It's unclear whether this is a retail game. It'd probably be like Sorcery or Medieval Moves, where it's like a discounted Blu-ray disc.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it looks cool, and you know, it's exciting to see the Move used in unique ways. I mean, that was what was so exciting about Datura, even if it wasn't a good game, was that they're trying to do different things with it. It's not just like point and shoot kind of shit.
Sure, sure.
And this is different. So
this is the first PlayStation Move game that I have ever watched and been like, yeah, I would play that, or at least try it.
I think there's good PlayStation Move games. There's three must-play PlayStation Move games for me. It's Sports Champions, I think, is really good. Medieval Moves is the best PlayStation Move game. And then Sorcery, I think, is really good.
The thing for me with Sports Champions is I'm sure it's very good. It's just that isn't a game that I would play. Like, it's not... I got my Wii Sports fix.
There's a bocce ball in Sports Champions.
Sports Champions works a lot better than Wii Sports, obviously.
Yeah.
Speaking of the other game that I talked about that I was told that I shouldn't talk about because it doesn't matter, but that was actually announced, is Rain. And that's a PSN game being developed at Studio Japan. So, like we said on GameScoop, 50% chance it probably will never come out. So Rain casts you as a little girl. It casts you as a little boy. You're working to save a little girl when you become invisible. Gameplay showed footsteps through puddles and the invisible boy bumping into things.
Yeah.
So, Greg, tell me more about this game.
So, yeah, that was it. And then when it actually rains in the game, you can see the silhouette of the boy. And there's this whole hidden invisible world, pretty much, that the rain illuminates. There seem to be some monsters around there. Gopharb and I caught in the trailer. It looks like a puzzler. You're moving things around, climbing up on stuff, jumping around. A little bit of an eco vibe to it. I haven't played enough of it, but from what I see, a little bit of a Papo and Yo Mechanics 2 in a way, you know, because that went over well. But you know, I'm you know what I mean. So yeah, it looks interesting. It's beautiful, as Andrew Goldfarb called it.
Beautiful. I laughed at the trailer because the trailer is really cool, and the mechanic, as you just described it, is that when it rains, you can see the invisible boy, and this tagline comes up that's like,
see the invisible world.
It just said what the mechanic was. Like, it wasn't like a clever tagline. It didn't like when they announced Puppeteer, which I'm guessing we'll talk about in a second, it had like this cool, oh, welcome to the stage of magic and mystery or whatever. This one's just like, oh, when it rains, you can see the kid. Like, it's really funny how it described it.
This is why The Last Guardian's delayed.
Yeah.
Yes, Puppeteer is the next game. I think this game looks really cool. It's another Studio Japan game. It's unclear whether it's a PSN game or a retail game. You think it's a retail game? I don't think it is.
Struck me as retail. Yeah, I mean, the way they were talking about it, and they were talking about how big and ambitious it was and how the world moves around you and blah, blah,
Carnival
blah.
Island is a retail game. This is a retail game.
Jesus Christ. So Puppeteer follows a boy who has been carried away by the Moon Bear King into a castle where he's transformed into a puppet. So it's I'll just not even describe the game as a story. I think the game looks really cool. It's a side-scrolling action game. It looks somewhat old school, and I think the graphics look really nice. It kind of is reminiscent in a way of Little Big Planet, way it looks. I don't think it looks quite as good, but
some of the mechanics are really cool, though. Like, just from the brief little snippets of gameplay they showed, like, your goal in the game was to get these magic scissors, and you have them, and they seem to be like your main like weapon, but you're using them for like multiple different things. So it shows this gigantic monster going after the kid, and it puts its claws down in the ground, and he uses the scissors to cut through the claws to avoid it. But then it also shows the scissors as like using like as platform mechanics, like almost like flapping them like wings and cutting through ropes to move higher up in the environment. Like, it looks creative and cool. Like, I'm a sucker for like a cool platformer, so I'll totally play.
You're a sucker for a lot of things.
I'm just a sucker. Yeah. Period.
I think that game looks really cool. I think it has an unfortunate name, but
yeah.
Not because like Puppeteer can't be a cool name, but it just makes it seem like it's something it's not.
It's one of those titles that sounds like it should be a reference to like Puppet Ear, and it's a game about ears, you know? Like, I mean, it's weird to me that it's called Puppeteer and you're just a wooden boy. Like,
get out.
Puppeteer! Who wants to play Puppeteer, everybody?
And the final piece of news that came out of the conference of consequence is new Vita firmware coming. 1.8 comes August 28th. 1.8 will allow PS1 classics to be played on Vita, which is cool. But it also lets you use, I guess, the face buttons with the system to select things on the screen instead of having to use the touchscreen, which I actually really like, because even if you're playing a game where you don't use a touchscreen, or I don't use a touchscreen, like Plants vs. Zombies, for instance, you still are smearing the shit out of the screen when you're, you know, and I just hate it. Like, I feel like I'm always cleaning this fucking thing off, you know?
Yeah.
And it's annoying. I scratched the shit out of the Vita already because I just don't have the patience to, like, look for my microfiber cloth all the time. I'm using, like, a t-shirt all the time. And you just scratch it. Just, that's the downfall of these kinds of, this device.
Guys, get a screen protector day one.
Yeah.
Been happy with mine.
I use my t-shirt all the time. I have no scratches on it. I don't really? Know. Well, why are your shirts made of fiberglass?
If you look at yours in the light at an angle, I'm sure you have, like, a million, like, little scratches on it.
Let's make it a bet.
Okay.
Good.
You need to look at it. You count every one of the millions of them. Yeah. You count every one of the million of screen things on there. We'll see who's right or wrong.
Are we only doing Gamescom news?
Yeah.
Okay.
What other news you got?
There's the God of War Ascension multiplayer beta.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be starting in the near future for PlayStation Plus people, and they made some weird hint that there will be other ways to get into it. And then they just detailed, there will be a story up on IGN.com, just some details about, like, what the multiplayer modes are and what kind of things you'll see. They basically just gave names to some of the things we saw at E3. But
cool. What other news? Oh, yeah, Sleeping Dogs is getting DLC, right?
Yep, for 6 months.
That's cool. It's a good game. Great game.
Dust 514 beta coming to PlayStation
Plus. Yep,
Dust 514
beta, right. Is there anything else?
For PS3 stuff. For people who care about Black Ops 2, they are totally changing the game's multiplayer. It actually looks really, really cool. So previously, when you played the Call of Duty games, the way multiplayer worked was you picked a primary weapon, secondary weapon, some perks, and like your grenade or whatever. That system's out the door. Now everything has a point value. So your primary weapon is worth X amount of points, your secondary weapon is worth X amount of points, and those add up into a specific amount, and you only have that amount of points to use. It's just kind of a cool way to change the loadout system.
Good.
Good stuff.
Then. YouTube's also coming to PlayStation
3. All right, that's today. That's exciting.
Use have you heard about YouTube? Start. You can upload videos that you make yourself. It's crazy. Yeah.
I tried to use it on the PlayStation browser forever, and it never worked, so I'm happy to have a thing that gets around that now.
Hey, Greg, what could I watch on YouTube?
You can watch Start. Go to youtube.com/start and then watch Up at Noon. Mm. Fuck the rest of the shows. Don't worry about them. Yeah. But Up at Noon's what you need to be watching. Like, this week we had Darksiders 2 on.
Wow, that game came out today. I would love to watch that interview. One more time, where could I watch it?
youtube.com/start.
Thanks, Greg.
I got confused there for a second, but I picked it up in the end. I think I covered it all right.
Yep.
Colin, you got anything else for the Rover Report?
No, that's it.
No, hey, we did that in record time. We got through all the big stuff. What games are out today? If I wanted to know, Colin, where could I go?
I don't know.
You go to the official list of upcoming software on all three platforms by the IGN editors. There's a PlayStation that's supposed to be in there somewhere.
Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah.
Is probably the only game of relevance that comes
out. No, Darksiders.
Sleeping Dogs is probably the only game of relevance that comes out.
8.5 Sleeping Dogs from our own Colin Moriarty. Audrey Drake gave Darksiders 2 a 7.5, I believe. Yep. That's what I read.
And okay. Papa EO comes out on PSN. Now, this surprised me. So Mitch reviewed the game. He's one of our Xbox editors. The game always intrigued us, and we always got to play it in like little pieces.
Yeah.
And I thought the game was really cool. I understand that people think like we hype certain games and then give them bad scores, but that's never intentional. Like when we're excited about a game, I was authentically excited about the game, and I haven't played the full version of the game yet. I have it on my PS3, but I haven't played it. We gave it a 4, which is bad.
Yeah.
Literally, that's literally bad.
In ours,
put that in perspective, too, like Mitch went back and he was showing me old PlayStation blog posts about Papa Wii U and looking at the character model and comparing it to now. And it looks worse. Like, I don't understand how that happened. It had like these really complex shaders and textures on it, and like everything about like the monster himself now looks worse than it did like months and months ago.
They did a post a while ago talking about why they redesigned the character, but it didn't go into why he technically looks worse and stuff like that. And the game overall doesn't look good. Like, it's one of those things.
The textures are all weird and walls look like flat. And
similar to Colin, I haven't played through it myself, but what I did is Mitch was stuck at a part and had me come up and play part of it. And we've played it at events and done stuff like that. And so when I was playing the part Mitch was stuck at, which he references in his review and I believe is in the video review, it's like, yeah, like this looks not good. And like the platforming is really annoying. I was having, like, just jumping in. I mean, granted, I'm jumping in late in the game or whatever, but still it's giving me that taste of, oh, wow, this is really hard to judge how far out I'm jumping and what's happening here. Why is the monster hitting me over here? And, oh, good to see he's stuck on that and he can't come get me. Yeah. It's like, and then there's a bunch of little stuff like that. You're like, ugh.
It's disappointing because this is one of those games where what you want the lesson to be for other developers is not to just don't try anything ambitious because, you know, this is so, it's like so cool and the metaphor and the story details and everything about it is so interesting. it's unfortunately an experiment that didn't pay off, but you don't want that to be like a detractor to people for innovating and for coming up with cool stories. Like,
it's one of those things that, you know, they're a small developer too. I forget the name. Do you know the name off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's a,
you think about it.
No,
Nihilistic Software.
No. Oh yeah. Go ahead. I'll come up with it.
Anyways, you know, it's one of those things. I think Sony's going to continue to cultivate those kind of people. So we already see it with Unfinished Swan. We saw it today with Rain and stuff like that. Like, I don't think you have to worry about
Minority.
There you go. I don't think you have to worry about a chilling effect on other developers as much as you, nor on Sony's part. You know what I mean? As far as taking, because that's where we always talk about, you know, Sony versus Xbox and Xbox Live versus PSN. And PSN's strong suit is that it's a boutique game. This guy has boutique games for interesting people. Watch the GameScoop video for that to make sense. But it's you know, it is boutique games. It is these little one-offs that are like really like something different and you want to play and you want to know more about. And like, whereas Xbox Live has, don't get me wrong, great, you know, got a huge library of games. But I think, moreover, the PlayStation exclusives that PlayStation gets are more interesting, if that makes sense. Sure. They're more varied. There's tons of different experiences out there.
I agree. Did we talk about the new PlayStation All-Stars characters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. You were late.
I'm sorry. I couldn't even do the rewind theater I was going
to
do.
So. Oh, good. I'm glad to see you wasted our time for nothing.
All our laptops are in Germany. Gonna
come back in 2 hours.
Sorry.
All our laptops are in Germany. Gamescom, I tell you what. Sleeping Dogs, you want to talk about it? I can't wait to play it when I have like 30 hours to spare.
Yeah, it's good. It's really, a great game. I mean, it's you know, I've been playing it for a while, so it's like, I don't, you know.
It's hard to boil it down.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing, we've had it for a long time. But it's a special game in that it does some things differently than some of its contemporaries. I think the game's kind of been lost in the shuffle. I don't know why Activision, first of all, let that game loose. I mean, I think Square Enix...
It's not annualizable, I bet.
Well, yeah, it's probably not, but it's very very solid move on Square Enix, a very rare solid move on Square Enix to pick that game up, and I hope it sells well, because I think it's a really good game. It's not as good as Saints Row the Third. It's not as novel or as fun as Grand Theft Auto 4, but it tells a serious story. And has interesting characters in it. And it's like really gory and brutal too. The combat's fun. The gunplay's not as good as Saints Row. The melee combat's probably better than any game of its kind, though.
What sold me on it was in your review, you talk about how there's it almost reminds me of like a Fallout New Vegas like faction thing, that you have like different meters associated with different people that you're in with. So it's like you have a cop meter because you're an undercover cop, but then you have a separate triad meter, and then the face meter is like the people of Hong Kong. I think that's brilliant. I think that's really, really cool.
It's cool, yeah. You earn... You know, when you're doing main missions, you can earn triad or cop experience, and you kind of start at a certain place with cop with a cop meter, and then lose it, and you gain triad depending on what you're doing. So, like for instance, if you're driving like and you hit a light post or whatever, you lose like 10 experience points out of police because you like destroyed some property. But if you're like if you kill some dude, that's cool. But if you kill the dude in like a brutal way, like with one of the game's brutal kills, quote unquote, then you get more experience points, whatever. And the face points come from doing favors and tasks for people in the city, like whether they're good people or criminals or whatever. And all of the experience points then unlocks special skills that make Wei Shen stronger. So
it's really smart.
It's a cool game. I the statistics are not as deep as Saints Row the Third, but it does something special. Like the game is unique. I really think it's like the sleeper hit. That and Omelure are like the two games that are that like no one talked about this year that are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both reviewed by Colin.
Yep.
He knows things. He's got an eye. He knows what he's talking about.
Colin Sleeper Hit Moriarty.
Yeah, that's what they call
Sleeper Hit Moriarty. Housekeeping. Mm-hmm. You had a little note there, I saw.
Yeah. So I tweeted randomly this weekend about fantasy football.
Mm-hmm. I replied.
Yeah, you did. And I got a lot of replies. Like over 100.
Yeah.
And that's just for people that saw that tweet. So I think we'll do fantasy football. Now, the caveat, of course, is that we did do fantasy hockey and last year, and I just didn't have time. I was the commissioner. I didn't really have time to attend to it. It's kind of like when I used to do fantasy baseball in high school, and then by the time I got to college, I'm like, I don't have fucking time for this. Yeah. And then with hockey, which is not as intensive as baseball, I just didn't have time for that. Football's perfect because you only have to do it once a week, really. Yeah. So I want to do that. The thing is that we can't possibly accommodate everyone that wants to do it. So I need... What I need from people this week are ideas about where they want the league to be. My old standby is Yahoo, but that's kind of like old school.
Yahoo.
The Yahoo league things are really good. That's what I always use for like brackets and March Madness. And
yeah, stuff. I mean, I like it, but I know people. Some people use CBS and some people use ESPN. So we got to sort that out.
Sort it out.
And we also have to figure out how if there's a system in which we can have sister leagues, because I had this idea that We can have like trophies. Someone even said that they work in an engraving shop, so we can do like, we can do funny little trophies that are then circulated amongst people depending on the leagues they win and stuff like that. So my two ideas were this: we either have a league where it's like, it's almost like soccer leagues in England or whatever, where like the best teams are in one league and then like it goes down and down into the leagues over and over again, so like the leagues get worse.
Yeah.
And we could just do, there's no way, the objective way to do that, so it'll just be like first come, first serve.
Yeah.
And then next year we can like mix everything up.
Yeah.
Or we can do something, if there's a system somewhere where we can have some sort of rotisserie system, like a point system and standings, where we can compare the points and then have like eight different leagues, but overall standings as well. So if anyone has any answers to that, that would be cool. I also need volunteers for commissioners for each of the leagues, because I can't do this by myself. Yeah. I can be the commissioner for our league, but that will me and Greg will be in and we'll invite people into it. So if you have any ideas on that front, send them to beyond@ign.com.
Beyond@ign.com.
Fantasy football in the subject and sound off on that. Then next Tuesday, a week from today, we will tell you how to join the fantasy football league.
Gotcha. All right. Goldfarb, you got anything?
For housekeeping?
Yeah.
I'm doing a Beyond After Hours or whatever.
All right.
Morgan.
Yeah, yeah, good. I'm glad you're doing them, because whenever he sends them to me, I'm like, I'll do it, and then I ignore it and forget all about it.
Yeah, he sent me the questions last night, so I'll try and answer them tonight and get them back to him.
Cool. For me, and we're not ending the show just yet. We still have 20 minutes, it looks like. Maybe even a little bit more than that. For me, I have cancer. I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma the other day. I tweeted about it and blogged about it, and the outpouring of support from all of you has been overwhelming. I'm sorry that I can't get back to everyone personally. I'm doing my best to try. If this news is just breaking to you right now, don't panic. Totally curable, and, or you know, totally treatable, among the most treatable cancers. So no reason to panic or flip your hat. Calm down. It's going to be okay. I'll be fine. I'm trying not to miss any work, trying not to miss any Beyonds, trying not to miss any Up at Noons. So everything will be status quo for the most part, to my knowledge. But I wanted to make sure you knew. Two, thank you for your support. It's been incredible. I can't thank you enough. It's been amazing. Also, the show wouldn't be the show if we didn't talk about a PlayStation All-Stars character we wanted in PlayStation All-Stars. Mm. If you haven't been following this, our good friend PandaMusk, listener, animates these. We put them up on IGN.com. We steal all the traffic for them on Friday. They're delightful little videos where we pitch a character, or we put it out here, we spitball the character, then we send it over to Superbot, and they probably put it in the game, I imagine. Colin, are they putting them in the game? You were over there the other day.
No, they do watch them, though. I do.
Okay,
ask them.
Good, yeah, good,
they
good.
Think they're funny.
Okay, good, good, good. Goldfarb, you suggested one that I thought was pretty great, and I think you should talk about it today.
Oh, the Sound Chase Blob.
Yeah,
I believe it. Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I would love to see the Sound Chase Blob. But as like a playable character, I think would be hilarious.
Yeah,
there's so many, like an easy level 3 would be like all of the platforms in the map suddenly turn into red, and like you can't jump anywhere if you're any other character, and maybe one tiny platform in the middle.
Yeah,
some crazy.
What are his basic attacks? What are the Sound Chase Blob's basic attacks?
So he can. You turn on like the run mode or whatever. You have to hold down the button and you can run forward really fast back and forth, and maybe, I don't know, stick to people.
This is very compelling.
Climb over them. I think it would be cool if you maybe could call in one of the dudes from like the Super Brothers level.
Ooh,
with like a red laser.
That'd
or
be
whatever.
Awesome. Yeah.
Just like, I mean, because there are so many hazards in that game that are really funny, like some of the weird looking things from like the Deadmau5 levels or whatever. Like you would basically be calling in those hazards, and then your ability would be to avoid them while everybody else can't, maybe.
What I love about this, Greg, is that last week I suggested, instead of talking about Crash, that we talk about Lil and Large from Escape Plan, which you told me no one cared about. No one knew. but you sign off on the Sound Shapes Blob.
Sound Shape Blob is hot right now.
Yeah.
He's a PS3 game,
it's
too.
It's topical. Yeah,
I guarantee more people currently know the Blob than they do Little and Large. So Little and Large can get the fuck out of here.
Maybe the Sound Shapes Blob's level 2 is that he makes fun of Little and Large.
Colin, you got any, what do you want to see? You reviewed Sound Shapes. What should this character be doing out there?
I don't know. I don't feel like he should be in the game. What the hell is this thing gonna do? He's like a fucking over-easy egg.
Well, there you go. He jumps on you, and he's like, what if he was huge? Are you against him being big? What if he's bigger than everything?
He's like a power character. That's how he could be cool, right? Like, so he's huge, like a big daddy, strong, slow character. But if you hold R, he's really agile and moves back and forth.
Don't try to justify it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be
a terrible idea.
But are we already out of ideas for this segment? 3 in. Ethan Mars, Crash Bandicoot,
no, there's
dead.
There's a bunch of great ideas.
Okay, we'll save them, but I think Sound Shapes Blob could be in there too.
Okay, good.
That's what it says on the character select screen, Sound Shapes Blob.
Or just Blob.
Yeah. Just Blob, ooh.
He probably has a name.
You think so?
What's his name? Greg, what's his name?
Timmy.
Timmy, what's his last name?
O'Toole.
Timmy O'Toole, the Sound Shapes Blob. So he's Irish descent?
Yeah, that's right.
Timmy O'Toole versus Sackboy.
The worst fight of all time. That's good. That's fun.
Good work this week.
Okay, yeah. And good luck with that one, Panda Musk. if you don't see this on Friday, ladies and gentlemen, that's why.
Yeah, I hope Panda Musk has played Sound Shapes.
Yes. Okay. He tweets about it nonstop.
Real quick, too, because I downloaded it today from the iTunes store on my phone. Mitchell Morgan, who I trust M-Dog implicitly.
Implicitly.
And
does he know that joke?
Yeah, okay. He must. He listens to the podcast.
Well, do we ever talk about it on the air? I thought it was something we talked about afterwards.
No, because people... No, we talked
about it.
Happened
at the end of E3 predictions.
Okay. Yeah. We trust him implicitly.
Yeah, he released another version of the Beyond soundboard. Hmm. With some new stuff on there, which is fun. Ooh. And I think he like cleaned everything else up, and I think it actually makes the file smaller.
Oh, nice.
So definitely go on the there iTunes store and find that. It's free.
Yeah. All right, good. Let's go to some reader mail.
Okay.
Mail call. Remember, if you want to be part of the show, beyond@ign.com, with the exception of today when I had to tweet, so you can follow me at Game Over Greggy or Garfep or No Taxation. I'm not going to tell
that's
you which
how to
is
follow
which.
You, yeah. Follow Greg at all three of his Twitter
accounts. No, that's not how it works at all. You silly. Antonio King tweets at me and says, favorite announcement from Gamescom so far? In my opinion, I'm going with Crossbuy for the PS3 and Vita. Colin?
I don't know. Until Dawn, I think, is the most interesting one for me.
Mm-hmm. You like the new games?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do.
I want more new games.
Yeah. You want a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's funny because I've said many times I'm not crazy about the Killzone franchise, but for me it's Killzone Vita, because now that we know Black Ops Declassified is nihilistic, I'm putting all of my hope into Killzone Vita for a really good first-person shooter. So that one for me.
Smart.
Okay.
Smart man.
I'm going with Crossbuy too. I think that's a really, really smart move, and I'm interested to see if they can expand it. And Shuhei, you should totally steal my idea. I'm doing Black Ops 2.
Yeah. No, I think Crossbuy is brilliant and exactly what they needed.
Zach Gregory writes, the titles announced today make the Vita enticing, but a price drop would have definitely been better. Any chance this happens?
Well, I think it's like what Colin was predicting all along, which is that they're never going to take the moment and be like, look, this is too expensive and drop it. They're doing a de facto price drop by issuing these bundles that have a game and a memory card and all those other things. And I think you'll see those kind of ramp up. I would be very surprised if they don't do an 8-gig card instead of a 4-gig card,
because yeah.
4 gigs is useless on the Vita.
Yeah, I have a 4-gig card, and I'm like deleting shit constantly off of it.
See,
and since
you can't
save your saves on it either. Like, that is the worst fucking design choice ever.
Well, so I'm very concerned about this because I haven't backed up to my PS3 ever. So I'm finally going to do that, even though I hear it takes like 3 hours. So is that how, if I delete the bubble from my Vita,
yeah,
I could just never, even if it's been backed up to my PS3?
Oh, if it's backed up,
but
I thought
it's not that way for every game, right? Because when we did the Marvel vs. Capcom thing, when we got the Vitas, we tested the trophies. Because I switched out Hopper's card, and it said, you can't earn trophies here. So I deleted it off of my thing and then reinstalled it, and it worked. And I thought we deleted it off of Hopper's thing and then put it back in there, and it worked.
Yeah, but I don't know where those saves would live. There's nowhere for those saves to live.
That's what's so weird, is that there's no just save utility. Like, it was so easy
it's
on
really,
PSP.
It's really weird. I don't understand. Like, that design choice is bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, they're adding little UI tweaks in that new firmware update. Like, it looks like you can do you can use the buttons to navigate the home screen rather than only being touched.
Yeah, we talked about this.
So, I'm sorry. But I'm hoping, though, because of that, because they're already tweaking the interface a little bit, that maybe they'll eventually wise up and add, like, a little separate menu for managing saves. Because, like, it's, like, an important thing. Like, that's, like, yeah. even the 3DS has that. Like, it's, like, it's a weird oversight for a system as sophisticated as the Vita.
Yeah,
right. I agree.
Vienna writes in, do you think the Vita has been reinvigorated with all these fantastic new games, trailers, and announcements? Beyond.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a great step in the right direction. It still needs more and more. Like, they need to continue this flow moving forward. Like,
yeah,
well, we need more Vita games coming at TGS and et cetera, et cetera. But,
sure.
Yeah, this is the best step. I mean, since E3 2011, this was the best showing for the Vita.
Sure. A lot of questions on there, too. Was this the conference they should have had at E3?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. But then what were they had here?
See, it's one of those things. I think E3 gets a bad rap because of the Wonder Book.
Yeah,
you take out the Wonder Book and how long they spent on Wonder Book and PlayStation Mobile added up.
But for Vita, if you're talking Vita specifically,
oh, sure.
E3 was terrible. Yeah,
okay.
I mean,
yeah, good point.
Yeah, I agree that the E3 press conference was actually the best of E3, but not for Vita. I mean, they barely even mentioned it.
And there weren't many new. We weren't blown away. There was no surprises, right? We kept saying that we knew what was coming, and sure enough,
yeah.
We got what we wanted.
I think TGS is gonna be big for Vita.
I hope so, man. I'll keep it going.
Let's see that Bioshock game, man.
I mean, they need...
You're not going to see it there.
Not there, but they need games that are going to, like, sell a million copies in Japan.
I'm really, like, they need to bring more franchises. Like, I think it's really smart bringing Killzone over. Let's see God of War Vita. Let's see, you know, and the funny thing is, like, release some collections. Like, I would play the God of War game. Like, I would play God of War 1 and 2 again for new trophies on Vita. Like,
sure.
I'm surprised that they're doing the God of War saga or whatever anyway. Why not release something similar
maybe they
to
will,
that on
maybe
Vita?
I wouldn't be surprised if that, now that they've announced cross-buy, if they eventually come out.
Yeah.
Like, think about how long they took to tell you Sly Cooper is coming on Vita. How long they took to tell you Full Front Assault was coming.
And even All-Stars. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's true. I'm hoping some of those collections come to Vita, because obviously I'd rather see new games, but at the same time, it would be fun having... You know,
I know it wouldn't. I know it's impossible. Man, could you imagine the Infamous collection? New trophies on Vita?
Yeah, that'd be
holy
sweet.
Shit.
That'd be awesome. Or even just Infamous 1.
Yeah, I'll take it. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond, episode 253. Remember, if you want to be part of the show, beyond@IGN.com. Remember, go to IGN.com, read stuff there, watch all the videos. Colin's got all those exclusive All-Stars up. You gotta go see that.
They're so good.
They pay the bills here. Look on Friday for another Panda Musk video. Hopefully, he has a real job, so he does this when he can. We understand, Panda. Don't kill yourself. Don't stay up all night doing it.
We love you.
If you want to be part of our lives, I guess, follow us on the Twitters. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Garfep is Garfep. When I go to say your Twitter name, it's always hard to remember your real name.
That's okay. I'm Andrew. Nice to meet you.
No, I know that part, but the goal farm. Because then sometimes I call you Garfield. You get all mad.
You can call me Garfield.
I don't want to. Well, you hate Mondays.
I do love lasagna.
We end the show each and every week with a song submitted by you, the listener. You send them to beyond@IGN.com. We put them on a flash drive. We bring them up, put them on the show. I forgot to do it this week. It's usually Clement's job, but he's out. Beyond GameSpot's podcast.
What's the song?
Huh? Exactly. Here? No, okay. That's the thing. I was just going to pitch to you, Goldie. We're going old school now. Remember you remember the first 100 Beyond episodes?
I loved it. You guys used to sing. It was
all
great.
Right. Well, now you take it away.
Well, I'm not going to sing. I'll sing it. I'll lay down a beat.
And Colin, you going to rap over it?
Over
whatever the beat he lays down, you got to rap over.
We're gonna do like an improv.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm not very good.
Come on,
at
that's what we used to do.
I know, but
you're
I'm not
great. You listen to rap all the time.
Yeah,
that
true.
Rap metal.
Am I doing a rap beat?
I don't. You always do the beatbox shit. Yeah. I really only
have one beat.
All right, so. Ladies and gentlemen, Beyond 253. Andrew Goldfarb, Colm Moriarty, go.
Wait, I have to do this? No, can't do it.
Now sample that over and over again. No, can't do it. No, can't do it. Colin likes mayonnaise, mayonnaise. Wait, see how easy that is? That's a song right there.
That's terrible. I want it to be at least good. Like,
no, you can't
blindside
me. Mayonnaise, mayonnaise. No, that was a good song. People would buy that.
I would rather wait and we can do a real rap song with written lyrics.
Studio recordings with four different
tracks.
For
what
tracks.
Episode of The Beyond do you want to do that?
We can do it next week.
All right, fine. 254, a real rap song. Andrew Goldfarb. Colin Moriarty, I demand it's called mayonnaise.
Sure. I can make it all about condiments and video games.
That's all about condiments. That's a good like album name, actually. Yeah.
It sounds like a Weird Al album.
Beyond!
Beyond.
Beyond.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rain Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.